Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Focus podcast. This is Singing Lisa, your host. So glad to have you along. And of course, as we continue as a nation going through COVID-19, we certainly do wish everyone well as you continue to find better ways to stay safe and to resurface back into life. But very glad to have Dr. Shiva Akula here with me. He is an infectious disease specialist, and the reason why we're able to come together and learn as much as we have about COVID-19. And so, Doctor, we're very glad to have you here. And I will say that I'm excited about your topic because research is another special area in your background.
Yes.
So I am excited to learn about how you got involved in that and how important it's showing up to be right now. So thank you for being here.
I came to the United States in 1983 and I was a graduate student at the University of Texas. That I was actually working for a graduate degree, and at that same time, I had the opportunity to work with Peter Mansell, who was the leader in AIDS treatment, and I did some research and publications at that time, and I know exactly how important it was. I mean, at that time, there was AZT that was available, which may have not been the best option, but that was a foot in the door. And then subsequently, patients have had AIDS cocktail. So that was a combination of several drugs together, and that was the game changer. And the next, you know, I went to Chicago and did my residency. And there again, I did some publications on the oral manifestations of AIDS, and which got published again. And then I did a research fellowship at Stanford. And I had the great opportunity of working with world's authority on CMV infection. His name is Tom Merrigan, who is also the section chief of Stanford University Infectious Disease Department. And he has been the pioneer in trying to develop the first treatment for CMV infection, which is a blinding condition in AIDS. And it's called as ganciclovir. Then I came to Tulane and did 2 years of clinical fellowship, and at that time I had another opportunity to work with Dr. Ghulam Payman, who actually devised the liposomal ganciclovir, and we injected in one of my patients, and we published for the first time that there is injections into the eye could be a treatment for blindness in AIDS. And so that's how, you know, I did back to all my research interests. And obviously I think the pandemic has presented a great opportunity again to get back into the research.
Yes, well, that's why maybe all doctors seem to know one another, because you all have been in so many different places learning so many things. And so now, and you never know when your maybe smaller study becomes the bigger study. Now it's very important, because how many research efforts are there happening right now?
Throughout the world, that there is a data bank called clinicaltrials.gov, and it is reported more recently than I saw it was 1,738 publications,
wow,
which is involving every nation that there is, India, Iran, Saudi Arabia, Senegal, Canada, France, Germany, you name it, including, of course, the United States.
Absolutely.
The leaders in research. So it's a massive effort that's being done. And to tell you frankly that the very first patient or the case was recorded by Dr. Li Wen Liang in China, perhaps the Wuhan city. He was an ophthalmologist. And he actually contracted this COVID-19 disease. And he, when he realizes this is going to be a very serious SARS-like epidemic and maybe beyond, that he actually did a social media chat with other fellow physicians suggesting that perhaps we need to use the long gowns to prevent them from catching this coronavirus. And sadly, he was investigated for spreading rumors by the Chinese authorities, and he, in a short run, you know, died of a coronavirus infection himself. So this presentation is in his honor, and I would treat it as a martyr, you know, for coronavirus infection and the one that he wanted to point a direction towards protection, maybe perhaps a treatment in future.
Well, very well said, and a deserving honor. And I tell you, as we continue to find out the research and find out even where COVID came from, here we now know that there is someone who was the first to identify what we now know as just a very rapid rising disease that we all are trying to get ahead of. So thank you for sharing that. And to his honor, we do pray that much research and many answers come about. So now you have been exposed to all of the research ideas and efforts and medications. We know that we've been hearing a lot about many drugs being used to try and to come up at least with a vaccine to try to resolve this. What are some that are being studied right now? We know remdesivir is the front runner because it's been so popular in the news.
You said something about the vaccine, which probably will be the best course of treatment for this coronavirus pandemic. But all these medications like the remdesivir and others, which I'm going to talk briefly, would be a bridge towards that vaccine. Mm-hmm. So the vaccine may not come at least till October, November, maybe next year, early next year. But these medicines would be a bridge towards that. And the very first treatment, which is remdesivir, is an antiviral, attacks the virus. This was actually developed during Ebola. Unfortunately, it was not helpful in Ebola disease, but it is helpful in coronavirus, and thereby it is really not the best treatment that's been adopted, but given the information that's available to reduce the duration of the course of the disease, and maybe I'm not sure about the reducing the death rate, that has been given expanded access usage. So that's how remdesivir is perhaps the only one so far. But throughout the world, there is so many research studies that are being done, and perhaps you can project all the medications that are being reviewed on a research level to see if they are going to be a treatment. So the one of the important one that I need to mention is hydroxychloroquine, which is Plaquenil, and has been used for years and years and years, on a low doses for prevention, and perhaps it may be helpful in the prevention. And there's been a lot of studies still ongoing, and we don't have the full results, but there's a politically charged up negative connotation for Plaquenil, or a perception, negative perceptions for Plaquenil, because of suspected toxicity to the heart, and maybe some blindness from it, which I have not seen myself. But if somebody has a heart arrhythmia problem, so then it may not be a good choice.
So, well, yes, those definitely are two popular ones that many are familiar with. And I'm sure that since you're mentioning so many thousands of research efforts being made, there are some others. Are there rapid efforts to try and use others in addition to those? I know you mentioned cocktails, so that may be a favorable.
It is possible, I think, the cocktails, just like I said something about the AZT, and then subsequently the AIDS cocktail has pretty much, been a game changer in AIDS. I believe that there is going to be a combination. For example, I am myself getting interested in intravenous immunoglobulin, which has been used in the past. This is not all these drugs, except for remdesivir, has been old drugs. They've been repurposed towards the treatment of coronavirus. So their directions have been changed towards. So we already know the toxicity of a lot of these medications which we are going to be using in the research trial. So literally there's no treatment. So Infectious Disease Society, suggests that any patients that are offered any of these treatments would be under a research umbrella. So literally there's no treatment, so they all need to be under research umbrella. So that being the case, that I believe it will be a combination, like a cocktail, of intravenous immunoglobulin, perhaps maybe remdesivir with it, or perhaps hydroxychloroquine with it, or maybe intravenous immunoglobulin, hydroxychloroquine, maybe azithromycin. So it's going to be a combination of medicines, which I believe is going to be like a coronavirus cocktails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that word cocktail comes up because people know how important that is to at least get some effectiveness when they want to relax, right? And so hopefully it does relax this virus so that we're able to see people come out and be healthier. Of course, with all these combinations, what you're saying is there is no cure. So really any combination is welcome to see what result will come of it. And I find it's so interesting that all of you doctors around the world are doing the same thing to try to save the people that are a part of your region. And so, of course, you're not originally from here, and you shared a story earlier about interesting details in your hometown. And I think many people realize that the death rate is not the same everywhere.
Yes, in India, where I came from, sadly that there is a large... it's 1.2 or 3 billion people. There is nowhere to social distance like 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. So they move in like groups, large groups. Even if they put on a mask, that it is not going to help. So their numbers are also climbing up. Mm-hmm. Like I think, you know, it's like 100,000 or maybe a little bit more than that. But their death rate has been tremendously low, a little over 3,000 or something. And so that clearly shows that there is something that is protecting them. So what it is, nobody knows, but there's been a suggestion that during my childhood days that we were, you know, immunized with BCG vaccination, that is to prevent tuberculosis. So I have a scar from BCG. So they believe that there is a large number of people in India that are vaccinated with BCG vaccination that may be protective in these viruses like the coronavirus. So maybe that is what is protecting them, because imagine, you know, like 1.23 billion people and you only have about 100,000, you know, infections and maybe 3,000 to 4,000 deaths. So obviously there's something is going on. So as a matter of fact, taking that information into consideration, they actually have a research trial going on right now using what is a tuberculosis bacterium called Mycobacterium V. And they're actually trying to autoclave and make it less effective from the infection standpoint, but at the same time provoke antibody response in the body. Wow. And that's a clinical trial that they're doing right now.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see that if you are already possessing what is keeping you safe.
Yeah.
Right here.
Maybe, yes.
Yeah. Well, I find that interesting as well, because I am learning that now the phase we're in is finding out those who have recovered have what they call antibodies. And I know that's been discussed a lot. Are you able to speak to that in the area of research?
Yes, I think, you know, in terms of the research, that there is a plasma therapy that's being pursued at Tulane. And there are other areas, you know, universities that are trying also. That could be one of the promising effects as well. So it could be plasma therapy. It could be intravenous immunoglobulins with remdesivir, intravenous immunoglobulin with hydroxychloroquine. It could be a combination of all of this. So I think, you know, there is a brighter prospect for a combination, you know, therapy in future till we get the vaccine. So that's what I predict, you know, is going to happen.
Well, I know that all of you doctors are re-energized because you've been seeing, you know, progress and some success in many people who have been treated and released, and that's always a good sign. So how excited are you to be a part of this research effort, because there are so many? Are you involved in anyone in particular?
Yes, incredibly. You know, this is a great opportunity of my lifetime to deal with this, you know, coronavirus treatment part, in a research trials. I'm specifically involved with intravenous immunoglobulin with either remdesivir or hydroxychloroquine or any of those things that people are taking. So this would be a combination effort. And I'm also trying to get into prophylaxis treatments. So people like the nurses and doctors and all those healthcare workers that are exposed to the coronavirus patients or in the nursing homes, what are the ways to prevent them from actually catching disease, or if they have it, you know, to reduce the effect of it. So those are some of the trials that I'm personally getting involved with that. And perhaps, you know, in future that there may be an option for me to get involved with some drumming up some volunteers to get the vaccine trials. So I think there's an opportunity for them. So I really would like to perhaps, you know, throw this number 504-899-2376 for people to call and see if they have any interest in any of these studies that I possibly could connect them.
And, yes, because all of the research involves people. So you need people to be a part of volunteering. And there have been many brave individuals who wanted to help, you know, mankind to find out if they possess what will help find a cure and find that vaccine. And so you're saying that if anyone's interested in stepping up in Louisiana, they can definitely give you a call. And so what's that number again?
504-899-2376.
Okay, so expect to get some calls because I know people want answers. And it's just been a tremendous effort, I feel, across the world to find answers. Like you said, the healthcare workers, and I know you've seen it firsthand, you all, this must be an army inside of how things are operating, because I haven't heard, you know, many workers, even though we've had deaths in that area as well. There must be something coming along that's being done right so that people are cared for in the process. So have you felt like there's been much learned and improved in how you all are cared for?
Oh, definitely. This is a learning process. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's a 6 months old disease. Mm-hmm. But we have learned a lot.
Yes.
And fortunately, we have a whole battery of medicines that are already on the shelves that we kind of repurposing towards this treatment. So I think, you know, there's a lot of time we catch up trying to challenge, you know, with these therapies on a research basis, and hopefully, you know, we'll have that cocktail that bridges towards the vaccine. But I have, you know, in closing, a very funny observations, especially when I say cocktails, and then people talking about from cocktail to Corona beer or something. And interestingly, as you know, that there was a lot of interest in people doing the online search about the Corona beer causing maybe perhaps a Corona infection. And so much so, with that fear, in Mexico, they shut down the production of Corona beer for good.
I am not surprised to hear that, because when it all came out, and I'm pretty sure that's one of the things people thought about first. Wait a minute. Has this been here all along?
And sadly, I think, you know, people don't have an understanding.
Yes.
And as you know, the sanitizing gels have the alcohol, and you got to have at least 60 to 70% alcohol content to
make it
kill this coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And there's been a cases of people drinking, you know, massive amounts of alcohol, especially in Iran. There's been a sort of a mini epidemic of deaths and blindness from ingesting methanol, which is, you know, methyl alcohol.
Wow.
So it is sad, but people have absolutely misconceptions, and they're getting desperate.
Yes, and they do call for desperate measures, which you have explained. And so it's unfortunate that people, it's very difficult. We don't know the mental toll on everybody. We know that it's great and tremendous in different levels. But just even thinking that it takes so long, why does it take so long for a vaccine to come about? I know that you mentioned that there are other places that are preparing even medication that they're for their country, just in case what they have provided is actually correct.
There are some 100 different vaccine candidates that are being tested right now. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the Oxford University vaccine trial. And they are actually doing a trials on injecting into the volunteers. And so there is actually a Serum Institute of India that's actually developing or actually manufacturing this vaccine ahead of time. By end of this September, when the study results will be available, they will already want to have 20 to 40 million doses of vaccine. So just in case, if most likely if that's going to be successful, then we should be able to be ready for it.
Right.
So that much of interest is being expressed. And I have never seen this much of, in fact, having been through the AIDS epidemic and the research at that time, there is tremendous amount of information out there, and the technology that's available in terms of the gene therapy and all artificial intelligence and all these brighter minds together. I think we are marching towards perhaps, you know, an effective treatment of coronavirus, and sadly that you already have a 250,000, you know, human beings, you know, that have lost their lives for.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, we have learned from all this, and hopefully I'm very, very optimistic that I think we're going to come up with something in the form of a treatment first, and maybe a vaccine.
Well, this is definitely a war like none other we've been a part of. And so we do know that all of you doctors and medical professionals, scientists are on the front line really fighting to make sure that we come out on top and alive and well. And so it is appreciated again. We can't thank all of the people like yourselves doing the work that you do to continue the effort to find out what is the cure, what's the vaccine, so that we can get our lives back and enjoy one another again. So we do congratulate you, and we look toward the future for great things.
Thank you.
All right.